Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Okay, so before we start, my dad was an Eastman guy, and so this is what he would call a Kodak moment. So I'm just going to quickly take your picture. So everybody say, Grace. Grace. Good. Wonderful. Thank you. So this is amazing. This is great. 100% open. It's awesome. You know what else it is? It's awkward. I mean, let's be real. Call it whatever you want. Regathering, reforming, reconvening, whatever we call it, at least some percentage of it is just going to be awkward. How many of you had any idea what to expect here today? Either because you have never been here before, or because it has been over a year and a half since you sat in these pews with other people. That could be awkward. How many of you are wondering right now, who are these people? Maybe you've been coming to Grace for years and someone just offered you a new member form. Awkward. Or how many of you saw someone that you do know well and you ran up to hug them or shake their hands and then you're like, oh wait, we can do this, right? Right? Like, we're okay? Awkward. So it's going to be awkward for a while, folks. Let's just accept that right now. Community can be awkward, even in normal times. And these are not normal times. These are transition times. Transition with a new rector. And transition from quarantine to community. So having been apart, divided really, and now transitioning to being back together is going to be a process. And I know that many of you are probably sick and tired of hearing me say, it's a process. Resurrection is a process. Understanding is a process. And transition is a process. And transitions can be awkward. So it's going to be awkward for a while. So speaking of awkward, let's talk about Paul for a minute. No, not you, Paul Vest. That would be really awkward, wouldn't it? So, you know, Paul, let's talk about Paul for a minute. He's right here. No, Paul the Apostle. If you ever want to spark a really awkward moment at a dinner party, just suggest that the conversation turn to Paul and Paul's teachings in the Bible. It will get awkward real quick if you have any diversity at the table. I promise you that. Because Paul and Paul's teachings found in the epistles are among some of the most well-known and also highly debated teachings in our scriptures. So I will just tell you right now, I love Paul. Not because I love everything that Paul teaches. For example, women. Oh, come on, you knew I was going here. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. First letter to the Corinthians. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. First letter to Timothy. I mean, awkward. But I love Paul. I really do. Because you see, Paul had a tough job. So I give him the benefit of the doubt here. Paul was an apostle who had seen the risen Christ. Paul was an educated Jewish leader and then a convert to the Jesus movement after being struck blind and the author of 14 of the 26 books in our New Testament. That's pretty impressive. And when you write 14 books, there are going to be a few things in there I don't agree with, no matter who you are. So Paul, writing in 53 AD, had some notions about women that now in 2021 we might find obscure. Duh. But Paul's writings on women in the church interest me so much less than his motivation for writing to these new communities to begin with. In our epistle today, Paul writes a letter to the Jesus followers in Corinth, Greece, written just 3 years after Paul had gone to Greece and founded this new community. But then Paul finds out that the community was falling apart as quickly as he had put it together. And why was it falling apart? Well, to make a long story short, because of awkward. The new Christian community of Corinth was falling apart because of division and separation caused by cultural differences and expectations. Some people gathered in that new community had been there in Corinth for generations, and some were new, coming from varying religions and traditions, and they all had very different ideas about how community should behave. And so cultural differences and expectations in a community is a really good recipe for awkward. And the community was arguing a lot over different things, over different expectations. Marriage, food, politics, all the things. And they were arguing about all the wrong things instead of talking about the right things. They were essentially asking the wrong questions, having the wrong conversations, and so the result was collapse. Now, the greatest tool of a good leader is to name things. To name things for what they are, and then to invite people into the right conversations about the right things with love. So Paul may not have always had the right answer, but he always had the right questions and led people into the right conversations. He was that kind of leader. That's why I love Paul. So Paul writes this community several letters and in short names what is causing all this awkwardness. He reminds them of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to be community, even when things are awkward, especially when things are awkward. Paul begins by reminding them of who they are now as a new community. They are not divided people any longer. They are all people with the same mission. Paul says, "We are servants of Jesus Christ and stewards of God's mysteries." Paul then reminds them that the goal of their mission is clear: unity, generosity, and appropriate relating. And he says all of these goals are accomplished through loving each other well. God is love, says Paul. So Paul and my mom would have gotten along really well. Okay, except for the women can't speak part. That would have been awkward. But Paul is a good leader by naming what is happening rather than avoiding it. Paul is a good leader and he asks the people the right questions and gathers them into the right conversations. Unity, generosity, right relationship, all grounded in love. This is how Paul leads people in the process of transition from many to one, from awkward to united. But the process takes time and it takes courage. Courage to get through the awkward phase to the place of unity. So in our process from awkward to unity, what are the right questions for us now at Grace? Given who we have been and who we are becoming, what is our mission? And what are our goals that we will center together in the days and the years to come? We have an amazing opportunity here. We have the opportunity after so much time apart to reimagine and rebuild a community with even greater capacity, with greater energy and vitality together. This reimagining begins with entering into conversations and being willing and able to sit with the awkward of differing cultural expectations, needs, and understandings. And it begins with remembering our common mission and then developing together legitimate priorities. As Paul says, to be servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries, to seek unity, generosity, and right relationship. We indeed have an amazing opportunity before us as a new community. We are no longer divided, no longer separated. We are one community with a mission. And in many ways, just like this new community in Corinth, we too are all newcomers in this new community. Whether we have been here for generations or this is the first time we have set foot in this place, in this transition time, yes, we are all newcomers. I am a newcomer too. I began here during the pandemic, and really this is my first time at Grace. At least my first time at Grace in this new way with all of you. Before I was called to this place, you all had what were called holy conversations. These conversations, having the right conversations, led you to know yourselves better and to call me here as your rector. And so now here I am. And as your leader, I want to welcome you all as this new community, all of you in many ways, along with me, newcomers to Grace as it extends to more and more people. So in your pews, you will find a newcomer letter. Do you see it? There's a stack of papers in there. If you will pass one to your neighbor, that is for everyone, for all of us, as newcomers to Grace. In that letter, you will find an invitation to holy conversation with me, your new rector. There are three dates that you can choose from to enter into holy conversation with me and with each other, where we will seek to have the right conversations about the right things. And for those of you who have been here 20 or 50 years, it may feel a little bit awkward to be called a newcomer and invited into conversations about Grace and who we are and how we're going to build community. And then for those of you who have set foot in this place for the first time, it may feel kind of awkward to be invited into a conversation about who Grace is. You might be thinking, I just got here. What do I know about who Grace is and what we should be doing? But the truth is, we are open 100% now into this new community, and it will take 100% of us to have the right conversation. So, yep, it's going to be awkward, folks. We don't fully know how to do this yet, but we do know we have work to do together. We have a call in this world to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So are we going to let a little awkward stop us? I don't think so. Because as Paul says, everything is for your sake, so that Grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase in thanksgiving to the glory of God. And when we follow Jesus and seek unity, generosity, and right relationship, then yes, everything is to the glory of God, even the stuff that's awkward. Amen.